Welcome back. Welcome back to our normal setting. After 2 weeks in different places, we no longer have any excuse to not be working on those assignments, reading Calvin if you're in first year, those kind of things, because routines are about to be back in place from today. How about I pray, and we'll look at Titus 2 and 3 together. Father, we pray for our time out here now. Father, we ask that the word that has just been read to us would be a word that we take to heart, that we pay real attention to. Father, I pray as we spend some time now looking together at the rest of this letter from almost 2,000 years ago sent to Titus, I pray that we'd have open hearts and minds, and we'd be motivated by your Spirit to want to take what we hear here, take what we read here, and really live it in every way in our lives. Pray that your word, as always, would be changing us from the inside out by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Well, looking ahead into this semester, something that's coming up for all of us, in a few weeks' time, assessments will start to loom. And that'll be, I suppose, a significant challenge for most of us on our agenda. What will we do? What will we do when inevitably, as always happens with essays and things like that, what will we do when they get tough? How will we keep ourselves working? What is it ultimately, other than, I suppose, the Spirit of God that gives us life and energy and everything else, what will it be that enables us to press on through that final, churning out that final 1,000 words, memorising those last few words of Greek vocab that just don't seem to sink in, no matter how many times you look at the squiggles on the page, they just don't sink in. How are you going to keep on going? I think the answer is, for most of us, by reminding ourselves of why it is that we're doing those assignments. In the case of assignments in a theological degree or diploma, we're doing them so that we can learn more about God's Word, learn more about the themes of the Bible, learn more about God's ways in the world, how we can serve Him and His gospel and His kingdom and His people. We'll keep ourselves going by focusing on the motivation that we have, the reasons why we're choosing to put ourselves through such difficult, challenging, and sometimes painful tasks. The same principle, I think, is evident in many other areas of life. Those of us that work with children or have children would know, how do you get your kids to do the things that they need to do, the things that you want them to do? Up to a point you can say, look, my case, Julia, Guinevere, my daughters, look, do this, don't do that. I want you to do this now. And sometimes they'll follow my direction. But by and large, particularly when the going's tough, when they're tired, when they're grumpy, when they've had too much sugar, whatever it is, getting them to do what they need to do, what I want them to do, the best way to do it is to give them a motivation. Sometimes I might try, now, darling, because you love me, would you do this? That one works occasionally. more likely, darling, I need you to do this, otherwise these consequences will follow if you don't, or because there's this good thing coming, if you can just make your way through this afternoon's homework or clean up your room, whatever it is that needs to be done. Likewise, exercise, going to the gym. How do I keep myself going more than a couple of minutes on the treadmill? By remembering the reason why I'm doing that, to pretend that I'm not middle-aged, to ward off the effects of advancing age upon my frail body. Motivation. It's one thing to tell people or to encourage ourselves or others to act in a certain way, to do something, but it's another, and I think the critical thing, to have that motivation or reason in view. And this is something, I think a general principle of human nature, but which operates in a biblical sense in Titus 2 and 3, as we'll see. Might be good, I think probably most of you already done this, but we'll be looking fairly closely at how Paul writes to Titus today. So if you don't already have Titus 2 and 3 open in front of you, now would be a time to pull out the phone or the Bible and do that. Last time we had chapel, a couple of weeks ago, before Carson, before TGC, last time we had chapel, we ended with Paul giving a warning to Titus and to us to rebuke and to speak against those who were teaching false doctrine because they're damaging others in the church with their false teaching. In chapter 2, he flips the coin, as it were, and he now talks to Titus, but you, Sudae, those who